98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
All hail the lumber jokes!
Yeah.
The jokes got it done!
Yeah, baby.
Man.
Yeah, baby.
I got a couple of happy campers right here after NAU throttled the University of Arizona.
Yeah, babe.
And on the way out, they said, oh, by the way, the 500 grand, can we take that now? You want to Venmo it to me? PayPal, or you want to write a check? What do you mean? You just kicked our ass. Yeah, but you owe me $500,000 for kicking your ass.
A cool half million for their first ever win over a Power 5 school, a Pac-8 school, a Pac-10 school, a Pac-12 school. Thank you, Mitch Stroman, voice of the NAU Lumberjacks, for sharing that little tidbit on your Instagram page over the weekend. Yes, NAU, the FCS Lumberjacks, yes, and the school of choice for one half of the Burns and Gambo Show. Beat the University of Arizona.
Yes, they did.
Saturday
Some
night.
Humiliating performance by Arizona.
Are we now in the running for the Territorial Cup?
You might be. You might be. By the way, you know, it could be worse. You could be UCLA. They paid $1.1 million to have Fresno State kick their ass.
Yes, they did.
There you go. Fresno State beats UCLA. By the way, PayPal? Venmo? How do you want to pay me the $1.1 million that you owe me?
There are three schools so far this year that earned $1 million and won their football games in those. It wasn't just Fresno State.
That somewhere.
It was like Northern Illinois did it and like Texas San Antonio did it, where they got paid $1 million to go be somebody's cupcake.
Yeah.
And instead of being the bug, they were the windshield on that particular Saturday night.
Man.
That's great. Yeah.
Appalachian State almost did it again this year, too.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Those paycheck games, and it's happened to the Pack. So, Montana did it. That was like, what, $675,000 they earned for Washington. So it's nice to hear you give the Lumberjacks a little bit of love.
Listen, the jokes deserve some credit, man.
Well, I mean, I think now we have to get rid of the Lumber Jokes moniker.
Never.
They're now the Lumberjacks.
It's just, it can never.
You need to turn that attention towards U of A and that Jed Fish program.
Are you kidding, Jordan? You think
a boy can wish, right?
Seriously, you are. Your head is in the clouds, man. Put your feet on the ground and understand who you're dealing with.
NAU beating U of A, that Cardinal game
exactly
yesterday.
Right, yeah.
I'm on a high right now. I'm never going to come down from
him. Calling them the Lumberjacks and not the Lumberjokes would be like him not speaking in a New York accent starting tomorrow. It would be weird.
I congratulated the Lumberjokes.
I
opened the show with their big win.
We were just hoping you'd go all the way and call them by their actual given name. But since you're not going to do that.
That is their given name. They should change it.
Let's weigh in on the top story of the day here on the Burns
given
and Gambo
me.
Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Snap, spot. The kick is up, and the kick is no good. He missed it wide to the right. He missed it, and the Cardinals win it 34-33. A missed extra point. And now a missed field goal at the gun, and Arizona's 2-0.
My favorite, no offense to Dave Pasch, because he's one of the best in the world at what he does. My favorite, though, is actually Paul Allen with the Vikings call. Did you hear this one?
It's good.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone!
Good!
No, he missed it.
Good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Are you kidding me?
You missed it right.
What a gut punch to a team, Paul, that play after play, toward the end, fought its way back.
Oh, missed it by like a foot.
And just, oh my God.
Yeah, our radio guys are better than your radio guys.
It's good. No, man, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh my God.
Number one rule should always be look for the officials.
Look for the officials, man. Yeah. Just look. They'll tell you.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Tim Healy's throw up play call on the USC game.
Oh, the Jail Mary?
The Jail Mary.
Yeah, you got to throw it up. There's nobody in the area.
Oh, my God! There's a... My God! I didn't see him!
That's, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. That's exactly what it's like.
Here we go. Going deep. It's Berkovici. He's just going to air it out deep downfield, and no white shirts around.
Oh, Jalen Strong! Jalen Strong makes the catch!
Nobody there. We're going to lose. Oh, my God!
It was like somebody pulled a pin on a word grenade in the in the booth. Oh, you know, hoodie up.
So great. So great. So let's talk about this.
Let's talk about this. Cardinals win. They're 2-0 on a missed 37-yard field goal.
So what? They're 2-0. That's all that matters. Nothing matters. Kid missed the field goal. It happens. Kickers miss field goals. It happens. A kid missed the field goal, and the Cardinals won the game. And I got to tell you a funny story. You were at the game. I was actually watching it at home. And the GameCast on ESPN is about 10, 15 seconds ahead of what you're watching on TV.
Yeah.
So I've got the GameCast on because it helps me with how many yards a guy goes for play. And, you know, sometimes you watch that when you're watching the game. Even when you're at the stadium, I have that on. When I'm at the games, I usually have it there in front of me, too.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and, you know, this is about 10, 15 seconds before he makes the kick. And my GameCast comes up, and it says it's a final. Cardinals 34, Vikings 33. And I'm like, holy.
Whoa.
I'm like, he missed the kick? And then like 10 seconds later, he missed the kick. But I kind of knew because GameCast said it's a final. Cardinals 34, 33. Nothing matters except he missed the kick. The Cardinals are 2-0. It was a hard-fought game. It was going back and forth. I tweeted out earlier, whoever has the ball at the end of the game is going to win. And I thought that was going to be the case.
You should have been right.
I thought that was going to be the case.
You should have. I saw your tweet. You should have been correct.
I should have been right. Whoever has the ball at the end is going to win. It was just one of those back and forth games. I give a lot of credit to Minnesota. They showed up. They played hard. They played to win. You know, the Cardinals made some real early mistakes. The Cardinals defense came through in the second half. Kyler was phenomenal. We'll talk about all of that. But the bottom line is, that's a big win.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big win against the Vikings. You move to 2-0. You got Jacksonville next. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but they suck. So you're hoping to get to 3-0 with a win over the Jags.
That's the quote of the day right there on the Burns and Gamble show. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but they suck.
They suck. If you win that game, you're 3-0. You're 3-0.
Yeah.
And you're in a good spot. Three games into the season, you're in a great spot.
One of the things I love about our show is that we never like manufacture conversations. If we both agree on something, we both just say we agree on something, and we don't disagree for the sake of radio or anything like that. I 100% agree with you. I'm not going to apologize for what happened yesterday. It was lucky. They got lucky. They got fortunate that a fairly routine kick in the NFL was missed by Greg Joseph. And now I'm still following all these people, all the people who cover the Vikings on Twitter. And man, my timeline is filled with tweets from Minnesota about Greg Joseph said this and Mike Zimmer said that. And they're trying to rationalize why and how that could have happened. It was bad luck. And the Cardinals had good luck. And to think I'm going to sit here and for 4 hours tell you the Cardinals should be 1-1 when they are in fact 2-0, not going to do it. They're 2-0. It's all that matters.
Yep.
It's all that matters. Because at the end of the year, if the Cardinals are fortunate enough to be in the playoffs, nobody's going to sit there and go, yeah, but remember in week 2 when Greg Joseph missed a field goal? They're really not. Nobody is going to say
that. That's for the Vikings to deal with. That's for the Vikings to deal with.
Yes.
Their kicker missed a kick, and now if they miss the playoffs, they can go back to what should have happened. What could have, should have, would have happened, right?
Agreed.
That's not for the Cardinals. The Cardinals won the game.
It's not the Cardinals.
It's when you lose a game that you're supposed to win that you come, you know, it's not when you win a game you're supposed to lose. It's when you lose a game you're supposed to win. That it comes back to bite you in the ass.
Now, had the Cardinals lost that game, and we'll talk about Kyler in a second, there would have been a lot to talk about. The other kind of immediate thing that happened yesterday was their ability to keep pace with everything that happened in the NFC West. 49ers, they won on the road. Really ugly game against the Philadelphia Eagles, but they held on and won. The Rams, it wasn't a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. I think they hit a field goal with about 3.5 minutes to go.
They
didn't play that well. Matthew Stafford looked kind of vulnerable in their defense. Had they not been great on the goal line stand in the first quarter, they might have lost that game. Seattle, and congratulations, I owe you lunch.
Free lunch on Burnsy, baby!
Free Hawaiian barbecue on me on Thursday is when we've decided.
I correctly predicted that Seattle would lose to Tennessee.
Okay. This, not that this is an excuse.
Okay.
Okay. the Seahawks were 51-0 when leading by at least 15 points in that building.
They were up 24-9 at halftime. They were up 30-16 early in the fourth quarter.
That's their first loss in the history of that building when they've been up at any point in time during the game by 15 points. Not that I'm going to bring you lunch. You were right. Titans won.
Yeah,
in overtime.
Right, you are.
Yeah. Again, it's results at the end of the day. That's all that matters.
I said Tennessee would win. Tennessee won.
How Seattle lost doesn't matter. They lost. I owe you Hawaiian barbecue.
That makes up for me saying that Arizona State was going to spank BYU, which I was wrong about.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that a couple times Saturday night when I was watching.
I don't even look. We're going to talk about ASU today, but I'm disgusted. Disgusted by ASU.
You should be.
Totally disgusted.
You should be. I mean, when you have more false starts than points. When you have more flags thrown on you than points, that's a problem. They had 19 flags thrown on them. They scored 17 points. That's a problem.
Four false start penalties on one drive.
When we come back, we'll talk about ASU in a little bit. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, though, Kyler, there was a lot of good and there was some bad. How do we weigh the two? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Shotgun set. Play clock at one. Cliff might have to call timeout. Nope. They snap it. Murray drops back. Steps up. Now turns. Runs to his left. Throws left in the end zone. Hopkins is there. Sliding catch for a touchdown. Oh, that was all Kyler Murray. With one on the play clock, he just got it off in time. He had nowhere to go, circling in the pocket. But he found a running lane, and then he found D-Hop in the end zone for the touchdown.
What a show.
Oh, man.
What a show.
You know, I hate two games in reading it, but it's obvious the whole Kyler Murray is the early MVP favorite, and the fantasy people are going nuts. Like, fantasy football people are just going, he's scored 32 points. Oh, my God.
He's the messiah of fantasy football.
God, he is like, okay. Like, I just want wins, man. I just want wins, but the fantasy people are going crazy over. Yeah. I mean, I guess he scored, like, you know, more points than, like, quarterbacks normally can score in a fantasy game.
I don't know because I don't have Kyler on either of my teams. But if you played him, you got beat. I know this. Every year, not every year, and this probably isn't totally true, but most years, if you've got one specific player on your roster, chances are you're going to win your league.
Yeah.
Last year, that player was Josh Allen. If you had Josh Allen on your roster, chances are really good you won your fantasy football league. This year, that guy might be Kyler Murray. Now, that doesn't make him the MVP of the NFL. But in terms of that fantasy conversation, yeah, absolutely. This year, Kyler Murray might be the guy that if you have him on your roster, congratulations. If he stays healthy, you might win your league. But we don't care about
Bleacher Report had a thing. It's early, but Murray, not preseason MVP favorite Patrick Mahomes, leads the league in how the hell did he do that moments. That's what he leads the league in. Not yards or how the hell did he do that moments. And this was interesting. Murray completed 5 of his 7 deep pass attempts. He's now 10 for 16 on deep throws this season. It's an extremely high completion rate, even if the sample size is small.
Give me that number again.
He is now 10 of 16 on deep throws. He was 5 of 7 on deep pass attempts in the game. I'm going to say it's 20 yards or more.
Okay.
And now he's 10 of 16 on those throws, which is a high completion percentage. Now, look, there were 2 interceptions, and he's on pace for 26. But you got to take the good with the bad if you want to take shots down. If you want to dink and dunk, you're not going to throw interceptions. You want a Kirk Cousins?
Hi, Kirk Cousins.
You want a dink and dunk, 5 yards, 6 yards. Now, you want to take some shots down the field? You're going to miss sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're throwing the ball as much as he is, you are going to have some picks. So I think we could live with the picks as long as the end result is the touchdowns that are coming with it. On the day that he throws 1 touchdown and 3 picks, different story. But the 4 touchdowns overcome is greater than the 2 interceptions. And let's give that guy the vigil.
Nick Vigil.
That was a great play.
On the pick 6, that was a really
good
play.
It was just a great play. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, I'm not going to fault Kyler for that. Like, that kid made a great
read. He had the go-go gadget arms. They see that just keep going stretching out like he was Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic
Four.
But you know what
I like? It's not affecting his ability to go right back out there and throw those passes again.
Oh, no.
And not at all. He's shaking it off like it didn't happen. He's like Mariano Rivera after a blown save.
Yeah.
Wait, did Mariano Rivera ever blow a save?
yeah, he did against the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2001.
I don't count that game. That match cheating. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, he doesn't, like, it doesn't affect him.
No. Doesn't scare him. Doesn't scare him.
And I'm going to say this. I said this when we were on with Luke and Wolf earlier. I think that his small stature is such a plus on some of those broken plays where he's got to get rid of the ball in a hurry from this crazy angle.
Yeah.
If you're a tall, long quarterback, you got to get your body around. It takes time. And then it's just you're going to be awkward on it. He's short and compact. He's able to, like, contort his body and throw that ball. And it's kind of like, and I'm going to bring up a boxing analogy. Okay, if I'm fighting somebody that's a lot taller than me, I want to get inside. Short, compact punches. Okay, now he can't use his reach to his advantage. I'm inside. I got shorter arms. He's got longer arms. I'm going to hit him more than he hits me. Now, if I stay away from him, he's going to pop me with the jab all day long. But if I could get my chin on his chest, I'm going to win that battle because I got short arms.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler's ability to throw these balls, like, he's running out of bounds, throw it, and then, like, the play to Rondale Moore is just like, I don't think a 6'3 quarterback can make that play is what I'm saying. I think his being short in stature with shorter arms, I think it actually helps him on
because
those plays.
Because there aren't as many moving parts, or at least the moving parts aren't
as compact.
Long.
It's shorter and compact. You're getting there a lot quicker than having to get that whole big body turned around and then getting the throw.
It's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought of it that way. All I know is on that play to Rondale Moore, that you talk about whoever it was who said he might lead the league in, oh my God, did that
Bleacher
just happen?
Report.
Bleacher Report. Who said that Rondale Moore pass? Because you go back and you watch it again and again and again. I tweeted out, somebody sent like a graphic of what it looked like just with the X's and O's. 99 and 91 collapsed the pocket so quickly. And he quick spin to his right. Now he's running to his left.
And Kendricks is coming in.
And Kendricks is coming in. And on the run, running to his right, throwing straight down the field as a right-handed thrower, throwing to his left when all of his momentum is going to his left, but he kind of has to throw it to his right a little bit to avoid sailing it out of bounds. How the bleep did he do that?
I don't think a 6'3 quarterback
do that.
Because he's short.
I'll tell you this.
I'm telling you, I don't think a bigger quarterback can make that throw.
We talk about the good and the bad. And I think it was Pro Football Talk yesterday who tweeted out, man, Kyler Murray is the most entertaining player in the NFL to watch right now, and it's hard to dispute that.
I'm buying that stock.
The interceptions, I didn't mind yesterday because I do think the vigil pick was a great play by him, and what happened on the one Kirk down the field, I'll tell you what made me mad, what really bothered me.
Okay.
Was him running out of bounds. That bothered me.
On the
24-second drive. He can't run out of bounds.
He knew about 3 yards beforehand, but his momentum was taking him, and it was just nothing he could do.
You just got to fall on your butt. You just got to go down. And then to take this, compound that, because I'm telling you right now, if they lose that game, if Greg Joseph hits that 37-yarder, I think one of the things we're talking about today is, man, isn't it really unfortunate that Kyler Murray had one of the games of his life, completed 80% of his passes, 400 yards, accounted for 4 total touchdowns, but he directed a drive that only took 24 seconds off the clock. And I know your counter, and it's a good one, is that Cliff should have had more timeouts in his back pocket. We were talking about that earlier with Wolf and Luke.
Cliff doesn't save these damn timeouts.
And I did too. And that was very much part of the problem there and what happened with that final drive. The one part about Kyler's game yesterday that drove me crazy was him running out of bounds in that moment, because it kills any chance you have of taking time off the clock.
In the first week against Tennessee, he ran out of bounds 2 yards before the line of scrimmage for a 2-yard sack.
Yep.
Like, just throw the ball away. You're already outside the box. Just throw it in the air. Like, you don't even have to throw it to anybody. Throw it to a fan in the stands. You save 2 yards. I mean, it's, you know, I understand. I definitely get it. Minnesota, to me, they still had 3 timeouts at that time, and they had the 2-minute warning. They were going to get the clock stopped.
They were, but if
you could force them to take a timeout, I get it.
Yeah, because then they're going to burn one. Then they don't have one when they're trying to go down the field. It's just one of those little things that and he knows it. He knows he didn't play a perfect game yesterday, but man, the things that he's capable of, are some of the most entertaining things going on in the NFL right now. It's a show.
40 million.
It's a
40 million's coming.
Text the word gate to 620-620. Register to participate in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Virtual Tailgate Experience. It's fueled by M-Drive. Join your favorite Arizona sports host before the Cardinals game on Sunday. You will have the chance to win amazing prizes, including tickets to an upcoming football game, autographed memorabilia, and much more. Again, text the word gate to 620-620. It was a tale of two completely different halves for the Cardinals defense. Luckily, it was the second one where they figured everything out. That's next on Burns and Gambo.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Mitch is here with today's Twitter Poll question of the day. Hello, Mitch.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Fantastic. 2-0.
2-0.
It's very nice. Very entertaining.
2-0
so far.
And the Lumberjokes beat U of A.
Absolutely. Jordan and I pump our fists.
My college football team didn't do so hot this weekend. Sun Devils.
Oh, I didn't realize you went to ASU.
No worries.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Oh, boy.
Can we stick with the good for now, then?
For now,
can you practice the silent count? Like, did you even practice it? Like a silent count.
Four false starts in one drive.
False start.
I think I heard at one point 17 total penalties, was it?
I think it was 19 total. 16 were accepted.
16 accepted, yeah.
16 were accepted.
That's gravy.
A mess. But that is not what we're talking about here. What we are talking about here is 2-0 for the Arizona Cardinals. What's our poll question
today? Yes, we are. Our poll question today. Of the following, what was your biggest takeaway from yesterday's Cardinals win? And I was able to actually put four options on this one.
Okay.
Kyler Murray is insane.
Yes.
The defense adjusted.
Yes.
Rondale Moore's breakout. And we have a kicker.
Oh, man. I'm going to go, we have a kicker.
They're all exceptional answers. Boy.
I'm going with we have a kicker.
Okay, it's a good one. It's a good one. I'm torn between Kyler and Rondale Moore. I'm going to go with Rondale Moore.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Rondale Moore's breakout.
It looks like the audience is torn between two options. Number one being we have a kicker at 38.8%, and Kyler Murray is insane at 27.6%. But not far behind at 24% is Rondale Moore's breakout, defense adjusted at 9.5%. Also, because I was curious and because it's the leader, I looked it up. Zane Gonzalez missed two kicks yesterday for the Panthers.
Oh.
Missed a field goal and an extra point.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
How long was the field goal that he missed?
The field goal, I think it said 55-yarder was blocked.
Okay. I mean, 55. You're not going to.
So he gave it his best shot, and the Panthers trounced the Saints yesterday.
Panthers,
anyway.
That's probably why I didn't notice, because the Panthers beat them so badly the way they did. All right, we'll talk about the kickers in a little bit, because the Prater story is a big development, but we got to talk about that defense.
Second and 10 for the Vikings on their 31. A pitch to Cook running right. And running down the line is Buda Baker to make an all-pro type tackle. Not many safeties have that kind of makeup speed and tackling ability against a great back one-on-one like Buda Baker.
Cardinals have played eight quarters of football so far this season in the NFL. They've played outstanding defense in six of those eight quarters so far. Yesterday was a tale of two very completely different defenses. In the first half, they gave up nearly 300 yards to the Minnesota Vikings, and Dalvin Cook looked like he was playing against nobody.
13, 14, 15, 13, 14, 15. It seems like every time he ran the ball, it was over 10 yards. Like, if it wasn't for the safeties coming up and making the tackles, he was getting through that first line and the front seven so quickly that it was up to the secondary to make these tackles on him. He was killing them. And, you know, after the job they did last week on Derrick Henry, I think that they came in with the same game plan. Let's shut down the running game. That much maligned offensive line that we were ragging on all week, Bradbury and Urza, like, those guys were great.
They were good.
They were, man. The offensive line of Minnesota, which was really struggled, got manhandled by Cincinnati last week. I don't know, man. They had their come to Jesus moment, and they man, they were pushing the Cardinals around. I don't know what. I really wasn't expecting it.
No,
I
wasn't,
was not expecting
that.
Because they were so bad against Cincinnati last week. So bad. And they figured it out, and those holes were wide open for Dalvin Cook.
In fact, at one point, I was sitting next to Bickley, and he and I were, because Derrick Henry got off to a real slow start yesterday against Seattle.
Finished strong.
But at one point, we were wondering if the Cards' success against Derrick Henry was because he had tired legs from, you know, back-to-back seasons of over 300 carries. Because at the moment, Dalvin Cook is gashing the Cardinals, and Derrick Henry wasn't doing anything against the Seahawks, and we were thinking, oh, maybe last year we got, or maybe last week we got faked out a little bit by what the Cardinals did against Derrick Henry. Then two things happened. In the second half against Seattle, Derrick Henry turned it on and obliterated the Seattle Seahawks. And in the second half of their game against the Vikings, the Cardinals flipped it. Buda Baker was asked about adjustments. Here's what he said.
Kind of hard to tell you what we adjusted to,
What needed to be corrected? What was, because it seemed like Dalvin Cook was getting to the second level untouched too often.
Yeah, exactly. We got our big guys in there. We went jumbo in that second half, and, you know, we did a much better job of stopping the run. They do a great job. Their O linemen do a great job of going on tracks, and, you know, those D linemen got to get in their gaps, and Dalvin Cook's going to find that open gap each and every time, and it's going to be quick. And we knew that from the start. So, you know, DBs, linebackers, we knew if one gap was open, he's going to get in that gap, and he was going to go. So we just tried to do the best we could and get him down.
Dalvin Cook had 113 yards at halftime, 96 rushing, 17 receiving. He ended the game with 131 yards total combined between the two. He only had 35 yards rushing in the second half of that game. Between that and the fact that the Cardinals' defense in the second half only allowed 3 points. Remember, 7 of those second half points came on the Kyler pick six. The Vikings in the second half went punt, field goal, punt, punt, missed field goal. The Cardinals' defense, to their credit, they gave up nearly 300 yards in the first half of that game yesterday. They flipped that game yesterday.
Yeah, and when he's talking about the going jumbo, I just sent you a play on your phone from some of the game film that I was looking at on this one play in which Rashad Lawrence just went in there and just tackled Cook for a loss, and it just they did. I mean, that's what they did. They just got bigger on that front line and guys that you can't move. So you can see Rashad Lawrence right there making a tackle. So Rashad Lawrence and Corey Peters together. On that play, you'll see both Rashad Lawrence and Corey Peters. So you get the two big guys out there, and they're able, you know, and they move a little bit. So I thought that that was a big adjustment defensively for Vance. I think it worked a lot by putting Rashad Lawrence and Corey Peters together.
Yeah.
And you can see on that one play just this great tackle by the two big guys, just moving along that defensive line and just getting to where Cook was trying to get through and making a tackle.
I want to thank you for answering the question. Why is my co-host texting me in the middle of our show when I'm sitting 5 feet across the desk from him?
I wanted to send you a play from the game film.
I look at my phone. It's like, you got a text from Gambo.
Yeah.
Gambo, I'm sitting
I know.
Right here.
I know, but I just sometimes I'll share with you some things for you to see. I thought that was because Buda made that
was
point.
Good. But no, it was a good point.
And so it was Lawrence and Peters together.
And Lawrence and there was a play where Corey Peters stood up. Dalvin Cook, there was the Jordan Hicks, that big third down pass breakup that he had towards the end of that game, near the end of that game, not in the final drive, but the drive before that. He talked after the game about why they weren't doing their jobs well early.
Not sure. I have to look at the film. Felt like, you know, Dalvin did a good job cutting back on our defense, and you know, we've got to get penetration. We've got to be square, you know, not get gapped. Linebackers, you know, up front seven. So, you know, we'll have to look at the tape. But obviously, you know, when they come out and had, 150, 160 in the first half, it's not good.
Yeah,
not good football.
I heard Wolf talking about this when I was driving in. Man, you have a game where you allowed that many rushing yards to the Minnesota Vikings and you still won. You know, that's one of those numbers you look at, and the yards per carry, the total yards rushing, and your eyes kind of fall out of your skull a little bit. Like, how did that happen? And look, trust me, the Pro Football Focus grades, not that it's the end-all be-all, but if you look at some of the run defense grades for the defensive members of the Cardinals yesterday, pretty bad, pretty, pretty, pretty bad when it was all said and done. But in the second half, it was a different deal, and they started making those plays, and they turned the tide to that game, and they gave Kyler and the offense a chance to do their thing. They really turned it around.
I thought, you know, Buda's exactly right. What did you do? You went jumbo. We put the bigger guys in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys that are hard to move, and those guys did a better job of shutting it down. Like, even on Minnesota's final drive, they had to move the ball through the air, and they were able to move the ball through the air to set up the missed field goal. But they, look, 3 points in the second half.
3 points in the second half.
I mean, 3 points is 3 points.
I started the segment by saying it. I'll say it again. They've played 8 quarters of football. Defensively, they've played well for 6 of those 8 so far. You know, the 2 that they didn't, they were really bad. They were really bad. For 6 of the 8, they played really, really good defensively. Text us your thoughts on the Cardinals, the FanDuel text line. It's always open and available to you. 620-620 is where you can text us. And as always, we'll read the best ones on the air. He was brought in this offseason to provide some stability to a very volatile situation. And yesterday, that Matt Prater signing really paid off. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
This will be a 62-yard attempt. Andy Lee to hold. Snap. Ball is down. Prater's kick is absolutely crushed. And it's gone! A 62-yarder at the gun by Prater. And the Cardinals take the lead 24-23 into the locker room.
It was really easy over the offseason when you start talking about Rodney Hudson, J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, right? It was
to overlook Matt Prater.
So easy.
Yes.
He's the kicker. And no disrespect to kickers everywhere, but it's just easy. It's a trap that you fall into when you do what we do, or even when you're a fan of the football team and you're talking with your buddies about the Cardinals and even the draft, right? They got Zaven Collins. They got Rondale Moore. Nobody's overlooking Matt Prater now, at least not what he did yesterday. That was exactly, and not just the 62-yarder that he made that set the franchise record for the longest field goal in the history of the organization, but you look at the other side, and there's Greg Joseph, and he's missing the 37-yarder. That's why you upgrade that position.
That was such a big get for Keim. Such a big get. Huge 62-yard field goal. No issue with the pressure of needing the 27-yarder at the end of the game. This is a guy who owns the longest field goal, 64 yards, in the 102-year history of the NFL. And he's got a record 60 made field goals of 50 yards or longer. That kick, by the way, that would have been good from 70.
Sure would have.
Like, I got to tack on 8 yards right there. There was competition to get him, especially from the Lions, but he didn't want to be there. Now, what really, really helped the situation was his wife.
His wife?
His wife was a former Cardinals cheerleader. His wife was a former Cardinals cheerleader, so there was a connection there. I'm telling you, that helped. But there was a few teams that wanted him, but he didn't want to be in Detroit, and I think that helped right there that he was ready for a change. And then again, his wife was a former Cardinals cheerleader, so that gave, I think that may have played a factor. But that was such a great get because he's going to win them some games this year. He is going to win them some games. The guy's money.
Yeah, he is. Here's Cliff today talking about the big leg of Matt Prater.
We've seen him hit, you know, close to 70 in practice. So, I mean, you don't want to try those, like you said, on a consistent basis. But, I mean, we had 21 seconds left, and I asked Coach Rogers, where do we got to get in? And he said, just close to the 50. And I said, we can do that. And he lined up, and I think it would have been good from 70. I mean, he crushed it. So, it's fun to watch. It's cool to be around a guy who just – you know, when he steps up there, you feel confident he's going to rip it, kind of no holds barred, cut a loose type cat, and I'm glad we got him.
I'd love to ask Jay Feely about this, but as kickers get older, they usually start to lose some of the distance on their leg. Why has he not?
Yeah, because it's not like he's a young pup. He's an older kicker.
15 years in the league, and his range is 60-plus.
Yeah.
Like, usually guys that get older, you know, you like them for their accuracy. But you're like, oh, man, but then kickoffs, the guy can't get the kickoffs that he's going to kick it to the 10. He can't get in the end zone. So usually older kickers they lose distance. They don't lose accuracy, they lose distance. Why is it that Matt Prater hasn't lost distance? 15 years in the league, and he could boom it from 70.
Where are you, Jay? How come Jay always texts us at the times we need him the least? Where are in these moments where we need him the most? Because Jay will text us about the most random stuff in the middle of the show. But it's
more like we're working.
We're literally like putting up the bat signal for you right now, Jay. Where are you? Where are you?
Come be coaching some girls' soccer team or something.
Jeez.
It's useless, is what Jay Feely
lazy.
Is. Just useless.
Just lazy.
No, but it's a serious. It's
a good question.
Why is this guy defying the age of kickers and still have that long leg?
Now, this is not to say that at some point Matt Prater, he's a kicker. He will miss one
at some point.
Yes, he will.
Stop! Don't tell me that.
He missed one last week.
He's never going to miss.
At some point, he's going to miss.
Liar.
One. That is going to make you go, oh boy, they could have used that one. It happens. That's the life of a kicker. But for now, it feels like such an upgrade over last year, such an upgrade over Zane Gonzalez, where every field goal he kicked between the 40 and the 49-yard line was a hold your breath and hope that he makes it sort of a thing. If Matt Prater's on the roster, I hate to say this, but if Matt Prater's on the roster last year, Cardinals are probably a playoff team.
Okay, yes.
They're probably a playoff team.
Yeah.
If he's on the roster
last
year.
There shouldn't have been any debate. Zane Gonzalez had to go at the end of last year. He had to go. Like, that was it. You need a more reliable kicker.
Yeah.
Like, Zane Gonzalez was, I rooted for him. He was a great kicker in college. He was a great kicker at ASU. But that, he after last year, it's like, you couldn't bring him back. How do you justify bringing him back after that?
Couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Matt Prater, and this is courtesy of Mark Dalton, VP over at the Arizona Cardinals, who tweeted this out earlier. Matt Prater now owns the longest field goal record for three different franchises. He's got the longest field goal in the history of the Cardinals, the Lions, and the Broncos. The Broncos, of course, is also the NFL record at 64. His 75% completion rate on kicks of 50 yards or more is the best in the history of the NFL, as is, as you mentioned, his 60 total made kicks from beyond 50 yards. And then the other side of the equation is Greg Joseph. And you know, the history of Minnesota kickers, right?
I sent you there was a story in the Minnesota Star Tribune, and it's just like all these people like tweeting, you know, how many heartbreaking missed field goals can that be for the Vikings? That was one of them. And then there was just a whole bunch. I don't ever want to hear any other sports cities, regions talk about how bad their luck is. Nothing comes close to the blank we watch year after year. As a Viking fan, I expected the field goal miss. It's just the way this franchise has rolled for decades. I would love to meet the one Viking fan who is confident in the make, but that would never happen.
Yeah.
Like, they were just, you know, there was just so many comments, that, and they posted like 20 of them in the Star Tribune, people how frustrated they were with the missed kick after the game.
It was not always pretty. It had some giant momentum swings. The key plays in yesterday's Cardinals win, Big Red Reacts is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.